Damer van Willem Josie. Hasse, daar is gewoon niet aan zien. Hasse.
Sorry. De katani zijn niet spavenotel, zijn niet spavenotel. Meisje naar de nafke de morgen bij albeis. Wie moet ik als je wel jahoed, dan bevada ik ramai. Right, so the kasha is that in Chanani on Picasso, remember the case, right? The Chanani said, I gave the Paulim produce for their goods, for their salary. The Paulim said, we never received it. So they both swear and they both collect from the Balabais. So there, there's a bother in mind. That's not a misunderstanding or a matter of interpretation. Either the Chanani gave them food or he didn't give them food. That's a bother in mind. We pointed out yesterday, or last year, that I thought this might be the Mukkah of Rashi, where he thinks even the Rabbanan say that it didn't depend on Vade Ramai, but it also could be Lav Dafka. Bein Rabbi Yonan, Bein Rabbi Yosef is Vade Ramai, and Tosfos would say, for Rabbi Yosef is Vade Ramai, for the Rabbanan, E Efter L'Chaluka L'Yos Emes. Here's not a Chaluka. Clearly, E Efter L'Yos Emes, if he owes $1, and he's paying $1 to Chavani and $1 to Paulin, that's clearly impossible to be Emes. He doesn't owe $2. So why don't we just take the dollar from the Balabayas and say Heimunach instead of having the Balabayas pay twice? So the Gemara answers, or Rabbi Yudoigon, or wherever it is, answers, Amri hasam hainu taima, d'amri lechavani lo abayis, anish lechuzi dachka avidna, mai isli gabi sachar, avgav lechvashtava li lo mehemenli, b'shvua ad hemanti lo amrli, b'sadi havli. Sachar nami yamri lebabayis, anavda avidta gabach, mai isli gabi chavachli, mishtavi lo mehemenli, hilkatavai mishtavi, yishakli mevalabayis. The basic principle is pretty clear, that the basic principle is that is that Yehain Munach is when Reuven and Shimon are arguing over whose money it is. Reuven and Shimon argue about whose money it is. And if it's the case of Vader Imai, or of Yossi, or according to Tosos and and other Rishonim, if it's the case of Iyafel Luchaluka Lios Emes, according to the Chachamim, when Reuven and Shimon argue whose money it is, we say Yehain Munach. Over here, who's the Chenvani and the Polim? If the Chenvani and the Polim had been arguing about whose money it was, Taka, we would say Yehain Munach. But in this case, the Chenvani and the Paulin both have a taina. The Chenvani says, I'm not arguing with the Paulin. You know, this is like La Balvarm Giat. The Chenvani says, I'm going to have a dintor against the Paulin. Who are the Paulin? You told me to lay out money for you. I laid out money for you. The Paulin are just a hechitimsi. They're just the background information. I have a din against the Balabais. The Chenvani says, you told me to lay out money. I laid out money. And now you're denying that I laid out money. I have no relationship with the Paulim. Therefore, even if the Paulim swear, even whatever happens between me and the Paulim, I didn't believe the Paulim. You're the one who trusted the Paulim. You have to deal with the Paulim and take their shvua and deal with them. I don't have to deal with the Paulim. And the Paulim say, what do you mean? We worked for you and we never got paid. You're coming up with a story that you told the Chenvani to pay us? What do we know from the Chenvani? We're not about in the Chenvani. We're about in if you the Balabais. Sorry. And whatever the Chenvani swears, whatever, he's not our Baldin. We have nothing to do with him. We don't have to accept what he says. Therefore, in this case, you can't say Hein Munach, because the Chenvani and Paulim aren't fighting. The Chenvani and Balabais are fighting. And the Paulim and Balabais are fighting. And the Chenvani has a tine against the Balabais, and the Paulim have a tine against the Balabais. And in each case, there's no Vader Ramai. The Chenvani versus Balabais, maybe there's no Ramai. The Balabais doesn't know the Chenvani might be telling the truth. Paulim against the Balabais, there's no Vade Ramai. Maybe the Polim are telling the truth and the Balabais doesn't know. So, since we never mitzaref the Polim the Chenvani, you have two separate Dine Torah, each of which does not fall into the category of Yehain Munach, and therefore we don't say Yehain Munach. Alright, before we get to the $64,000 question, which the Rishonim addressed, which is Tenech, we don't say Yehain Munach, but why do we say the Balabais loses both court cases? There's an interesting technical question that Tosus asks. Tosus says in Dimer Maskel Vlo Amrit Lihavli Besadi, right? What is the taina? Basically, the Polim's taina is very strong. The Polim's taina is, Polim's size taina is exceedingly strong. Almost all Rishonim and Achronim agree that the Polim, Midoraisa, have a clear winning taina. The Polim's taina is, look, you owed us money. Everyone agrees you owed us money. And you didn't pay us. We just heard a story about a Chenvani who we never met in our entire life. So, and you don't even know if that story is true. That is classic. Ein yodei im praticha is the Lashon Rishonim used based on the Gemara in the 10th paragraph of Bava Kama. right? If we all admit I owed you money and I don't know whether or not I paid you, everyone agrees I'm chayim midina to pay you. And that's ein yodea im praticha. That's what the Gemara Baba Kama says. Ein yodea im nischayavti. It's not the lashon of the Gemara Baba Kama. It's the lashon of Rishonim use. Ein yodea im nischayavti. I don't know if I ever owed you money or not. You say, Morty says I owe money. I say, I don't know if I ever owed you money. That's a called bari v'shema. And we paskin bari v'shema. Lav bari adi forever. I'm also a varaya. If I don't know if I owe you money or not, I'm putter. Bari v'shema doesn't win. However, if I know that I owed you money, I just don't know whether I paid, ein yodea im praticha, then the Gemara Baba Kama says I lose. Then I'm chayv to pay you. So the polem have a very clear taina against the Baal Bais. Okay, we'll get into a little deeper in 2 minutes. The chenvani is a little trickier, because the chenvani taina against the Baal Bais is, well, tricky for 2 reasons. Number one, the chenvani, well, ein yodea im nischayavti. Chavani says, you owe me money, I laid out money for you. I don't know. If I come, I say, I laid out money for you. And you say, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. So why should I win? I can't just win by making a claim. Bari v'shema, we paskin lav bari adif. I can't just win by claiming I laid out money for you. So the Gemara here already gives us a little clue. The Gemara says, look, it's a little bit the, well, the Gemara says, already the Chenvani looks a little better, because the Chenvani says to the Baal Bais, says, look, I'm not the one who trusted the Paalim. You're the one who trusted the Paalim. Why? Because you didn't tell me to give them in front of Edim. Therefore, you imply that I should give them without Edim. You imply that you would take responsibility for trusting them. You trusted them. Therefore, you're the one who trusted them. It's not my fault. Tosir is the kasha. What's the assumption of our Gemara? The assumption of our Gemara is that when I stand telling you to pay my debt for me, you don't have to pay with Edim. If I give you $1,000 and I say, go pay my debt to Simcha, you can pay him without Edim because I'm implying that I trust Simcha. And that's in this case. That's why the Chenvani doesn't have to talk to the Poalim in Din Torah. I mean, technically he might talk to them, but luckily he doesn't have a case against them. So he says, I'm not the one who trusted the Poalim, you're the one who trusted the Poalim. Tos says this is against the known klal of Litkune Shedartich Velo Le'ivusi. This appears all over Shas. Whenever I send a shliach to do something, even if I don't tell him to do it right, even if I don't tell him to do it in the proper way, it's assumed that he's doing it the proper way. That's the klal Litkune Shedartich Velo Le'ivusi. I sent you to help me, not to mess me up. And he brings an exact parallel case in Ksuba Staff, Peidal and Beis Peyamad Aleph, the famous Avimi, who was Maskeve Zuza the Bechuzai, that's famous for many, many reasons, this case. But in our case, Avimi did the same thing, right? The Baal Bais sent the Chenvani to pay his debt to the Poalim. Avimi sent Shliach, I forget who the Shliach was. Avimi sent a Shliach to, what does it say? Biyad Chama? Sent Shliach, sent a shliach to pay the Beit Huzoi for him. And he told the shliach, right, pay my debt and get the shtar. This is the middle of the shtar. What happened? He paid the debt. They wouldn't give up the shtar. They tainted that the debt was a different debt and the shtar was a different debt. And that's a whole inyan, a whole sugyan of itself. And he comes back and they pass him that the shliach has to pay. He gave the money and then asked for the shtar. They say, no. It doesn't matter if he said, get the shtar and pay the money, or pay the money and get the shtar. You should know on your own to do it in a way that you won't possibly get messed up and they won't be able to deny it. So I come over there, they say he should know on his own to do it the right way. And over here they said, he is a taina. You didn't tell me to be careful. You made it sound like it was okay. So there are 3 answers to this question. 99% of the Rishonim, Tosos, and most of the Rishonim give what answer? Right. They say you can't take the Goren Ksubas to an extreme. Taking the Goren Ksubas to an extreme sounds like whenever I send you to pay a debt, you automatically have to make sure that you're legally covered. Right? Make sure that you're not open to any trickery. Say no. Vimadaik and the Goren Ksubas. The Goren says, whether I told you pay the money and get the shtar, or whether I told you get the shtar and pay the money, you should have asked for the shtar first before you paid the money. So they were dyking the Gemara. That means that, no, if I tell you nothing, that means you don't have to be careful. It just means once I tell you to be careful, then on your own you should figure out what's the right way to be careful. If I didn't tell you to be careful, then you're not going to be careful. But once I told you to get the shtar, you should figure out on your own that Lav Dav guy obviously might get the shtar first. Because if you pay the money first and then ask for the shtar, why are they going to give it to you if they're Rabbi? So that's Tosa and most Rishonim say. that here we have. Hey, Eman Aleph. Here we have Lo Hizkir Klum versus Hizkir Hashtar. And you shouldn't take this klal to its logical extreme. It doesn't mean every shliach has to be careful about everything. It just means once I tell the shliach to be careful, he has to figure out how to be careful effectively and not to be careful in a foolish way. All right, so the shliach's liabilities are limited. The Ramban in the Milchamos at the very end of Shavuos suggests another answer. This is Tosfos and most Rishonim. The Ramban suggests another answer. He says that, anyone remember what the Ramban says? That in Ksubas, what it's saying is that mi de oraisa, you have to, the Gemara in Ksubas is talking on the level of d'oraisa. Mi de oraisa, taka the Gemara in Ksubas is true, even if you don't say anything. He's much more makor in a shliach. Even if you don't say anything, if you send a shliach to pay, he has to prove that he paid. Even if you say nothing to him, and the Gemara says whether you mention the shtar first or second, or whether you didn't mention the shtar, even if I say nothing, I just say pay my debt. He has to make sure to pay his debt in a way that he can prove he paid your debt. That, the tkuni shtar tibili gusin, me'acho, is 100% out of sof. What's going on in our sugya? In our sugya, the Ramban says that really this is only a takana derabbanan because, here I'm adding, aren't careful and don't know the Gemara in Ksubos. Right, you could also add because it's normal commerce that people need to use the chanvanim to pay their workers. Nowadays, not so common anymore. But in the old days, that was a very common way for people to pay their workers by having a tab at the chanvanim. Therefore, the Ramban says it's really our Gemara's Rabbanan. Mi de oraisa, the chanvanim totally deserves to lose. Mi de oraisa, you could say litkuni shtar tivoli guse. He says that's not the only reason. There's other reasons. He also deserves to lose. But mi de oraisa, you could tell the chanvanim litkuni shtar tivoli guse. You should have paid the polo in front of Edim workers. Even if I say nothing, the shliach has unlimited responsibility. However, mi de rabbanan, Chazal felt bad for the chanvanim because this is a common case, and most chanvanim would pay without Edim. And they knew that if you applied the din to a rice, it would be impractical. Therefore, they felt bad, and they accepted the Chanvani's excuse. Even though mi d'oraisa was an invalid excuse. He says, look, you didn't tell me to pay with Edim. Mi d'oraisa, that's not a valid excuse. But mi d'rabbanan, they accepted the excuse for tikkun olam in order to protect Chanvanim and keep commerce working and make sure that all Poelim could have dinner to bring home to their kids, right? I assume, I'm adding, you know, the social reality. But look, you know, the guy in the Poland had to wait to get money from the balabais had to round up cash, then he had to start going to the chanvanim. How's he going to, in those days, right? What you earned that day was your kid's dinner that day. You didn't have extra money in the house if you were a Poel. How's he going to feed his kids? So therefore, they didn't want to interfere with this system, so they were makel.
This is Mechamot at the end of Shavuot?
Yes.
So then you're thinking the Mechamot is saying this is it's kind of specifically to chanvanim, not to all Shavuot.
Correct. 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 Then there's a strange Rav Nachshon Gon that Tosfos Rit brings down in Ksubos. Hopefully everyone found the Tosfos Rit in Ksubos. And remember that in most of Nachshon, he's on the page. He brings down Rav Nachshon Gon Nishal. He had a case like this, where Reuven sent Shimon to, sent Levi to pay Shimon. Exactly the same case. I send you to pay my debt. I send Morty to pay my debt to Aaron, and Morty pays without Edom. I just say, here's $1,000, give it to Aaron for my debt. And Aaron says, what do you mean? You never paid me. So I can sue Morty and say, you paid him without Edom? give me $1,000. All the other Rishonim quoted by the Tosfos read in his Maskan in the end are like Tosfos. They say, no, since I didn't mention Shtar Edom, if I didn't mention to be careful, he didn't have to be careful. That means I trust the guy. But Rav Nachshon Gaon said that even though it's not a chenvani, Reuven, Harlo, Shimon, etc., etc., right, he sent it with Levi, Levi said, I paid, and then 3 days later, Aaron comes back and says, give me back the money, no one ever paid me. He said, I sent it with Morty. He says, what do you mean, you never sent it with Morty? So what do I do? He says that Morty has to pay me because I could say, L'tkunu shidartich v'lo li'ivusi. And it's not at all like chavani on Pinkaso. Why? Because over here, Morty should have done everything he can to make sure that I don't lose money. Meaning, L'tkunu shidartich v'lo li'ivusi. You should have done everything you can to make me lose money. He is Rav Nachshon Gaon. Is like the Ramban in terms of how far do we take L'tkunu shidartich v'lo li'ivusi. So Tosu says, that means, you should be careful once I warned you. But the Ramban of Nachman would say, no, this means unlimited responsibility. You even have to take the initiative. Call Titzdiki, that's probably right here. So you should have done everything you could to make sure that I don't lose money. So if I send you $1,000 to pay Aaron or Simcha or whoever it was, you should have paid them in front of Aiden, because a shliach is responsible to do everything he can to make sure I don't lose money. This is a fundamental machlokes. The row of opinion says, don't make obvious mistakes. Once I warn you and tell you what to do, don't like mess up on easy things. Right? Basically, don't be careless. Well, according to the Mochamos, in one suggestion, he's a little more subtle about this, says, even if not. And Rav Nachshon go, no, it means unlimited responsibility. Once I make your shliach, you have unlimited responsibility to take the initiative and do everything you can. You even have to take the initiative, even though I didn't say anything, I just paid him. You have to take the initiative and pay in front of Edom, even though I didn't mention anything. Because you have to do everything you can to make sure I don't lose money. Very, very big chumrah and shlichus. What about Chavani al Pinkaso? So this is the regular din of unlimited responsibility. You should have done everything you can to make sure that I don't lose money. What about Chavani al Pinkaso? He says, oh, that's not at all similar to Chavani al Pinkaso. Okay, why is this not at all similar to Chavani al Pinkaso? Is not 100% clear. He just says, below dami kolik or lechavani al pinkaso. It's not like chavani al pinkaso at all. So you have to try to figure out what he means by it's not like chavani al pinkaso. It doesn't sound like the Ramban, like that's a tikkun of the Rabbanan. Maybe, but it sounds like it's just not a similar case. Why is it not similar? So I think, I didn't see anyone's thing. You have a question. Sorry, yes, question.
No, I mean, why is the chavani over here, according to Rav Nachshon, why isn't he a shliach of the Baal of Ice to pay the he should take all due responsibility?
That's exactly the question. He says, lo danya, because it's not similar. Why is it not similar? I think you could say, we're not sure, but I think, nirulani is daiti, that maybe what he means by lo danya is, a chenvani is not a shliach. A shliach is someone who agrees to do something for me, who agrees to go take care, go act on my behalf. Echenvani, he's not acting on my behalf. He's making a sale at his store. He's engaging in a business transaction for me. He is not representing me. He's engaging in a business transaction for me. What he's doing is, he's paying the polim, and I owe him back, What's that called? That's called din. You pay someone else, and then I have to pay you back. Anyone learn tradition? Din arid, which may or may not have to do with slichus, but this is, I think maybe what he means is that the chenvani is not acting on my behalf. He's really selling to me. What he's doing is he's selling his food. He makes money selling food in the store. He sells his food to me by giving it to the polim, and then I owe him money. So it could be that, what is L'tkunu shidartich v'lo li'ivusi? When I sent you and your whole purpose of going was to help me, it's a little paradoxical, right? When you're trying to help me, you're worse off. But that makes sense. When you're trying to help me, then we say, if you're trying to help me, that means you should have helped me as much as you can. The Chamani's not trying to help me. He's trying to make a sale. He's engaging in business with me. When you're engaging in business with me, then you just have to do what I say. If I say Adim, Adim. If I don't say Adim, don't say Adim. Because the umden of Latkuni Shidak Volivusi is only when you're actually doing something for me. As a favor, or maybe it's a paid favor, who knows whether you paid the fellow for doing the errand or not. When you're doing something for me, you're supposed to do it adasof. You're supposed to do it right. When you're engaging in business with me, even though technically you're doing something that affects me, but you're not doing it because you're helping me. You're doing it because you're engaging in business with me. When you engage in business with me, then we don't say, what do you mean you should have worried about helping me as much as you can? No, you weren't helping me. You were engaging in business with me, which also happened to do something on my behalf. You were selling me food, which also happened to pay the polim on my behalf. But since your purpose was to do business and not to represent me, therefore, we don't assume you have unlimited responsibility for me. We assume you just have whatever responsibility I told you. So it could be, this is what you can say, that the principle of the Tuna Shidarta to Lodigusi is only when you're acting on my behalf, not when you're acting on your behalf. If you're looking for fairness, you'll say it's not fair. What do you mean? If you're helping me, then you're more responsible. If you're helping yourself, you're less responsible. Yeah, but it's not a matter of fairness. It's a matter of omdina. If you are saying, I'm going to go do something on your behalf, then you have to do whatever is necessary to help me. If you're engaging in business with me, then you have to take reasonable precautions. But you don't have to do everything you can to help me, because you never agreed to help me. You just agreed to do business with me. After that, sort of Nashon Gon Shita.
I think you can make a simpler distinction. We talked about two cases. One where the Mishaleach told the Shaleach to mention the Shtar, and one where he said nothing. I think this case is where the Elu told him, don't bother with him, because it's so mikubal how Chenvani operates. It's as if he told him, don't bother doing it.
What you're saying for Nashon Gon is, in the case where Rin sent Levi to pay Shimon, it wasn't mikubal to pay without Edom. Yeah, but in the case of Chenvani, it's mekubal to pay without Edom.
He knew it. Everybody knew it. It's
okay.
It's if he told him, don't bother with.
Okay, that's eminently possible.
If the Balabite prepaid, he gave him the money and said, pay the Pauline. I give you money. You pay the Pauline as they come along from the money I give you. It would be different.
Correct. I think it might be different. Absolutely.
Because then he's.
Absolutely. According to me, it would be different. I don't know about according to Simcha. Okay, that's the basic fundamental machlok that Latkuni Shidak Volivusi. Now, which either just means be reasonably careful or have unlimited responsibility, according to my Pshat and Rav Nachman Gon, which may or may not be correct, it means unlimited responsibility, but only when you're entering into this in order to represent me. When you're entering into this to represent yourself and you happen to be helping me out, then you don't have unlimited responsibility because you never agreed to represent me. You only agreed to represent yourself. Now let's go to the more very, very fundamental. Iker Shaila. Why is the Bala Bayis chayav to pay twice? Bala Bayis. So first of all, he is Mishalem Lepoalim. Most Rishonim and Achronim assume that's easy. This is the classic principle of Eini Yodea Impraticha, which the Gemara says in Baba Kama, is chayav to pay. So that's easy. The trickier part is, why is he Mishalem Lechenveni? To the Chenveni, this is a case of Eini Yodea in Nischayavti. Basically, I told you to lay out money for me. You may or may not have. So you say, I for sure laid out money for you. I say, you may or may not have. Bari Vashema. But this is your saying, I owe you money. I'm saying, I might or might not have ever owed you money. Classic halacha says, this is butter. Okay, maybe Latsay Shidei Shemayim, it's Chayav, that's a whole sugya, which we won't get into now. But classic halacha says, I am butter. So, why is the Chenvani chayav to pay the Chenvani? So, what do you think? What's the most fundamental machlokas? Why is he chayav to pay the Chenvani?
When does the chayav to pay the Chenvani kick in? Once he says do this, or once the Chenvani actually does it?
No, once the Chenvani does it. If I tell you lay out money for me and you never lay out money, of course I was never chayav to you. You're trying to turn it into an Eini Yodea Impraticha, but it's not going to work. No, until the Chenvani hands money to someone, of course I'm not chayav to him. I tell you, go to the store, lay out money for me, buy me a liter of milk. Right? Lay out, 4 shekel 80, whatever it is for me, and buy me a liter of milk. You go to the store, they have no milk. Did I ever owe you money? Of course I never owed you money. Because you never laid it out for me. Okay. And this, what happened? What did the Chenvani, what did the Baal Bayis say? Baal Bayis says, I don't know, maybe the Poland never showed up. So why is he chayav to pay the Chenvani?
Whether the Chesed is with the
Baal.
The Cheskes moment is clearly with the Baal Bayis, right?
But the fact that he's engaged in shlichus to give out money might.
The fact that I made you a shliach, that means I have to pay you. That's a big chiddush. Why? I told you be a shliach to lay out money for me, but you might never have done the shlichus. Really? Why should I have to pay you? I don't know. You haven't adequately explained that. Maybe you can, but you haven't. So what's the machlokas about Lauren Rabban? The end of Shuas?
He says Darko shall kanvani to do it. That's the issue. Then nor does any part. And it's a combination of two factors.
Okay, I think you have to be a little more of a diet. This is a fundamental word of the Ramban in the beginning of the seventh parak of Shuas, right? The Tosos asked in the beginning of the seventh parak of Shuas. It says, Kol nishban shabat Torah nishban v'lo mishalim, right? All Dorais are nishba v'niftar. The Eilu nishban v'nolim, but here are some that are not in the Torah, obviously, Tikkunis Rabbanan, who are nishba v'notel. What are they? Hasachir v'nechvo v'nigzol, v'chen v'ni alpen kaso, and I'm probably forgetting one or two others. So the Tosos on the side in Shavuos asks the question. He says, we have a whole mission in Shavuos with nishba v'notel. Anyone know who else is nishba v'notel? Let's say I have a shtar. I have a shtar that you owe me $1,000. When do I have to be nishba v'notel? Some commission says, if there's an eid echad that you paid, I have to be nishba v'notel. If I admit b'mitzah that you paid mitzah, so I have to be nishba v'notel. So it says there are other nishba v'notels. Why aren't they in the Mishnah here? All right, kasha, whatever. You don't die from a kasha like that. But the Ramban lives from a kasha like that. The Ramban says right there in the beginning of Shavuos, not the Mochamas I point to you, just the Chiddush Ramban in the beginning, he says, no, there's two kinds of nishba v'notels. The one kind of nishba v'notels where I deserve to win midaraisa, but Chachamim told me to swear before I take. That's not being discussed in the Mishnah in the seventh paragraph of Shavuos. The Mishnah of Shavuos is only discussing a second type, where I don't deserve the money. And Chazal made a takana that if I swear, I get the money anyway. But he calls it a chumra nishba v'notel and kula nishba v'notel. The chumra nishba v'notel is in ksubos. I deserve to win. But chacham or machra, I should swear before I win. This is all kula nishba v'notel. I don't deserve any money. I don't deserve any money. But the chachamim were makil for me that even though I don't deserve money, they felt bad for me because of social reasons of tikkun olam. And therefore says, we'll give you money even though you don't deserve it, min haTorah. But we're not going to stam give you money you don't deserve in a Torah. Swear first, and if you swear, you'll get the money. Therefore, the Ramban says that's why all the cases in the Mishnah, the seventh parak of Shavuos, are people who don't deserve the money. Nechbal, I claim you were chovel me, you weren't, and there's a lot of social. You claim you weren't. There's a lot of circumstantial evidence. If I swear, I win. Nigzal, I claim you stole from me. You say you didn't, but there's a lot of circumstantial evidence. So midaraisa, I can't win with that. But midarabanan, I swear and take. Sachir, right? I claim. This is a whole sugya. We won't go into the sachir now because that gets a little more complicated. But chenvani al pinkaso. The Ramban says, be medayik. It doesn't say poalim. It says chenvani al pinkaso. Why? The poalim deserve the money midaraisa. Ein yudeim praticha. Chazal just made a chumra for them to swear. Okay, that's not in the Mishnah. Obviously, it's discussed in the scenario, but that's not discussed. What's the Mishnah? Chenvani al pinkaso. Only the chenvani belongs on this list, not the poalim. Why? Because the poalim deserve to win me the rights, so they just made a chumra to make them swear. That's not the seventh purpose for us' list. The chenvani doesn't deserve any money me the rights are. For tikkun olam, Chazal decided to give him the money if he swears. So the Ramban says very pashut. Why? Says the Mochamos in Shavuos that it's a takana dirabbanan. Why is it takana dirabbanan? Obviously, because of fairness of tikkun olam, because it's normal for a guy to have a chenvani, and the chenvani normally pays the poalim without eidim, and that's the normal way commerce works. And Chazal wanted to encourage chenvanis to give food to the poalim. Therefore, they made a takana dirabbanan, even though the chenvani deserves to lose. Min dirabbanan, he could say, look, you didn't tell me to pay them with eidim, and therefore it wasn't totally my fault. And min dirabbanan, he's a nishba of a notel, and therefore he makes a beautiful diyuk in the Mishnah. Poalim are not in the list of the Mishnah. Only chenvani al pinkaso is the list of the Mishnah, because chenvani is a kula, it's his advantage that he's nishba of a notel. The poalim, it's a disadvantage to them that they're nishba of a notel. Okay, that's the Ramban. And of course, the Mochamas, who is he arguing on? The Balamor. The Balamor says, in what context does he say? The Baal HaMor has the following case. Anyone know what's the normal rule? Let's say there's a chashuv. Let's say a guy is not allowed to swear, right? We'll get to that a little while more later in the Gemara. He's not allowed to swear because he's a proven rasha, right? he was made Eidu Sheker, or in the simplest case of Chashal Shvua, the simplest case of Morgan of Chashal Shvua is Echad Shvua Sheker, Echad Shvua Shav, Echad. Is he swore falsely yesterday, right? Bill Clinton, right? We all know he swore falsely. Everyone saw him swear falsely on TV. Les Mandepalik. He now comes into court. And we say, we don't let you swear. So what's the normal rule? If I have a din Torah against, I'll even volunteer to be a bad guy. I don't want to tell a shenara. I have a din Torah against Josh. I'm Chashad al Shvua. I'm Bill Clinton. I have a din Torah against Josh. I'm hyped to swear. I can't swear. What do we normally do in the case of Chashad? What? No.
Isn't Josh swear?
Yeah, well, he flipped the shua to the other guy. So he says, ah, but here it's not so pashut. Here, let's say the chenvani and the polim are chashut. They can't swear. Can we flip the shua to the balabais?
No, he doesn't know.
No, he doesn't know. That's the whole point. The balabais doesn't know. If the balabais knew, it would be a different story. If the balabais, if he had a taina, then of course we'd believe him. If he said, I saw them take or I saw them not take, if he could have done such a thing. So we can't flip the shua. So what happens when someone's chashud and we can't flip it? What do we do in a case of chashud? Okay, this is reminiscent. Those of us, anyone starting to get a headache now, because they remember Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Abba and Havad Lolosavale. We're not going to get into that now. You don't need Akamal. But what do we do in this case? In this case, if there's a chashud, you can't swear. So says the Baal HaMor, easy. We go back to the level of Doraisa. If a Nishma of a Notel can't swear, we go back to the Doraisa. And therefore, says Baal HaMor, if the Doraisa deserves the money, then if he can't swear, what do? We can't take under a button, we go back to Doraisa. So therefore, says the Baal HaMor, here's the Nafka Mina. What about a Chenvani Chashud? So the Baal HaMor says, Notel below Shua. If the Chenvani is Chashud, he takes the money down Shua. Why? Because he deserves to win, Midoraisa. Very Pashut. Right?
Why does
the Chenvani
win Doraisa?
The Baal HaMor doesn't say.
Right.
Why is the
Chenvani Chashud? If it happens to be the Chenvani is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton opened the Chanus. Bill Clinton opened the Chanus. And he's Chashud, yeah. He was Chashud from yesterday, not in this case.
But this doesn't answer the question. This is just
correct.
It's not because
it's correct. He was Chashud from yesterday. And even though it wasn't in Yoni Mamon, still, even if someone swore falsely, but not in Yoni Mamon, maybe they're affected salary. Even if you swore falsely about not in Yoni Mamon, he's still Chashad al Shvua. And that's where the Melchamos jumps on him. The Melchamos says, what are you? It's ridiculous. You think the Chenvani deserves to win me Doraisa? No! Chenvani Opetoso, you're a Tosos guy. Which he usually is about more. You're a Tosos guy who doesn't understand what makes the list in our mission in the seventh paragraph of Shavuos unique and just gets confused about what belongs to the mission and what doesn't. I'm a Ramban person. I understand the principle of the mission, Kolan Ishvan, in the seventh paragraph of Shavuos. Everyone listed in that Mishnah, Minator doesn't deserve the money. Chazal were makel that if he swears, he can collect the money. And therefore, he says very Pashut, if the Kamani is notel, that's his actual machlokes of Malamor. The Kamani is Pashut. Ain't no no-tell. He has a very, dramatic lashon. Holy klob pachi nefesh. He walks out of bed and crestfallen, and he's depressed, and he goes home and cries to his wife. Ain't no no-tell, because this is only a takana drabanan for tikkun olam. They were nice to chenvani to tikkun olam in order to keep the wheels of to grease the wheels of commerce. But. If he can't even swear, then what can you do? They tried to help him. They made it to Ganesh from the hotel. If he can't swear, then tough luck. You go back to the Doraisa, and he is not no hotel. So this is a fundamental flux between the Rabban and the Baal HaMor, whether he deserves to be Doraisa or Rabbanan, Nafka Mina being, what if he is Chashud? The one thing the Baal HaMor didn't explain yet is why Taka does he deserve the money, Doraisa? That the Baal HaMor didn't explain. Okay, let's see one more Nafka Mina before we try to explain. Is the famous Machlokes in the Rambam and the other Rishonim, quoted by the Magen Mishnah. The Rambam has a Gevaldik Nafka Mina. Second Nafka Mina of the Rambam is, what about Mesu Poalim? Now this gets a little tricky, Mesu Poalim. What does it mean? The Rambam discusses, what if the Chenvani dies and only the Poalim are suing? What if the Poalim die and only the Chenvani is suing? We're not going into now the discussion at the end of the Magen Mishnah and a long discussion in the Achronim. What do you mean someone dies? What if they have Yorshim, right? Assuming they're not a Ger Shemes below Yorshim. You know, who says dying actually makes a difference? So that's discussed by all the Achronim and all the Mefarshei Rama, Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch, you know, is there really such thing as the Polim dying, or can their kids just come? And then you're back to square one. Is there really such thing as the Chenvani dying, or can his kids come? You're back to square one.
So you're not entirely, theoretically back to square one, but they don't have the same ideas that...
Exactly. So let's assume for the sake of argument, right? Assume for the sake of argument that since the Polim's kids in Astan don't have a Tainus Bari, right? They don't know what happened. Let's assume the Polim's kids have no Taina. The Polim, he died, his Tainus Bari died with him, and that's it. His, the Polim lost their money. So now it happens, the Chenvani sues the Baal Bayis. The Chenvani sues the Baal Bayis. He says, look, you definitely owe someone $100. You owe it to me, because I gave food to the Polim. And the Baal Bayis says, I don't know, maybe I owe it to someone else, and they haven't come to sue me, and they never even come to sue me. So, obviously the Chenvani wins. The question is, does the Chenvani win with a Shvua or without a Shvua? What does the Rambam paskin? Right, where is this Rambam? Mal Vavlova Tesayin.
Could be the offhand are he wins with a Shvua, but he doesn't win at all.
No, how could he not win at all? Meaning, if he wins when the Polim come and tell him a liar, he clearly wins when no one comes and calls him a liar. Says the Rambam, at the end here, Lefikach Meisach and Vani Noto Balcho Blo Shvua. Chene Meis Polo Balcho Vani Noto Blo Shvua. Meaning, in this case, the Baal Bayis only pays once. No one loses money. It's all fair, right? The Polim died. Where they are now, they don't need the money. The Chenvani is getting his money. The Baal Bayis, Taka, owes money. Like, he shouldn't keep the money, right? He owes someone the money. So it's all fair. So says the Rambam. The Rambam says the Chenvani is no deal without a Shvua.
Mentions that the Shvua needs to be in front of the other person. If the other guy's around, then maybe Shvua is totally... He's not going to accomplish anything in this case.
Okay. Here the Taina. I think that's a stretch. We assume it's an extra chomer to swear in front of the guy who contradicts you, but Shvua still accomplishes things, right? So, the simple shot is, the Rambam says, Mesu Polim, the Chemani takes without a Shvua. Says the Magid Mishnah, not so Pashat, that's your opinion. But the Ramban and the Yad Ramah and the Ran, the Ramban and the Ran are there in Masechet Shvuos. The Yad Ramah is... anyone know where to look for, other than Baba Basra, where do you look for Ramaz quoted in the Rishon and Achronim? Where's the main source of the Masorah of the Shita of the Yad Ramah, other than Baba Basra? What? Other than Baba Basra Sanhedrin, thank you. More so the Torah. The Torah quotes all the good, the Torah must have had a complete Masorah of the Ramaz Shitas on all of Shas. The Torah quotes all the good Ramaz. Where, what book the Torah had in front of him that he got it from, we don't know anymore, it's lost. But all the good Ramaz, other than, of course, where there's a Yad Ramaz and Hedra Baba Basra, and a couple of the Shitim Kubetzes, which we don't have much in our Masechet, but you have in Baba Kama a bit, come from the Torah. And this Magid Mishnah, he doesn't tell you where he found it, but I'm sure he found it in the Torah, because it's there. he says that. That Ktsas Minori Shonen, whose first are being Ktsas Minori Shonen? But Ktsas Hamafarshim Zal Modman in Polim Shemesah Chenvani Shnotim Lo Shvua. Everyone who is the, if the Chenvani dies, the Polim take without a Shvua. Because that's Eni Day and Praticha. But in this case, where the Polim died and the Chenvani wants to take this Eni Day Nuschayavdi, and they still take a Shvua. What is simple pshat in their machlokes? The Rambam says. The Rambam says, Chenvani is no tell bli shvua. The Chenvani takes without a shvua. Why? It makes sense if he holds like the Baal Amor. The Chenvani deserves from the Raisa. Meet Rabbanu, they put a shvua on him when you're making the Baal Bayis pay twice. Here the Baal Bayis doesn't pay twice. So why does he need to take a shvua? He deserves to win. However, the Ramban, Lashitase, and the Ran, and the Ramah say, no, the Chenvani still has to be Nishba v'notel. If it was the Polim, they would take it out of Shua, but the Chenvani has to be Nishba v'notel. Why? Because the Chenvani doesn't deserve to win Midoraisa. It's Ein Yudin Nischayati. It's only take 100 Rabbanim for the Chenvani to win. So, If it's only Takana Darabanan for him to win, they made a Takana. Let him Nishma v'notel. Of course he still has to be Nishma. He doesn't deserve the money midoraisa, even though he has no problem against him. He doesn't deserve the money midoraisa, so he still has to be Nishma v'notel. So these are the two classic nafkaminas of the Chakira, whether the Chanvani deserves to win only midrabanan, like the Ramban. Therefore, he always has to be Nishma, even if nothing unfair is happening, he still has to be Nishba. And if he's Chashan and can't be Nishba, he's stuck. Meaning Nishba is Likuva, because he doesn't deserve the money at all. Versus what seems to be the sheet of the Rambam and the Balamor, that he deserves to win Midoraisa, so the Nishba is a cute Kumra. If he can't swear, then he doesn't swear. If it's a slightly different situation, where the Balabais is not paying twice, is not losing out of pocket, then he doesn't have to swear. The only mystery that remains to be solved by the Achronim is what pshat? Why taka should he be chayav midoraisa? And this is a discussion in the Shach in Simon Tzadi Aleph, and he quotes two opinions. His first answer, the first answer of the Shach, really says the Rambam, but we still have the question of why. So the Shach has two answers for the Rambam. The first answer of the Shach really says the Rambam doesn't agree with the Balamor. What's the first answer of the Shach? No, that was the second answer, if I'm not mistaken. All right, lo mashen echel chach. But the first answer of the Shach, one second. Let's see, what? Shach, first answer, says Rambam is not the same as the Bal Hamor. Why? Only if Mesu Poalim Vechenvani deserves to win Minat Torah. Why only if Mesu Poalim? He says really doesn't get the Balamor. In a regular case, the Chenvani only has the Kundra button. But if Mesu Poalim, then the Rambam holds that. So he makes the Rambam in between Shita. In a regular case, he only wins Midorabanan. Mesu Poalim, he wins Midoraisa. Why in Mesu Poalim does he win Midoraisa, according to the Shach's first answer?
We only don't say Bari Hashem and Bari Adi for there's Cheses Marakama. But here we know for sure he owes the money to one of them, so there's no Cheses.
Exactly. What's the principle? Because you have Bari Hashemah, not against Cheskas Mamon. What does he mean by that? Now, this is an assumption. Why do we say Bari Hashem, Bari Adif, to Motzmeh Halav Haraya? If it's your money, I have to prove you should pay. That's a regular case. In a regular case, he agrees with Ramban. He's not the Balamor. But in the case of Mesu Poalim, what does the Alabai say? Here's $100. It's definitely not mine. It's either yours or theirs, and they die. Right? But I definitely owe this $100. So if you make the Balabai pay twice, you're going against his Cheskas Mamon. Why should it have to be twice? It's my money. But if you make the Balabai pay once, that's not called Cheskas Mamon. If I'm holding on to money, but I admit that I have nothing to do with this money and I don't deserve it, that's not Cheskas Mamon. What's the Balabai saying? I'm holding on to the money. It has nothing to do with me. Either it's yours or it belonged to them and they disappeared. But once Balabai says it's not my money anyway, he has no Cheskas Mamon. And of course, Bari Hashem is a good Svara. It's just not a good enough Svara to be Cheskas Mamon. But when there's no Cheskas Mamon, then Bari Hashem or Bari Adif, that's the first teretz of the Shach.
Why doesn't that apply when they're both still alive?
Because if they're both still alive, then the Balabai has to pay twice. Says, what, you're making me pay a second $100? What do you mean, Cheskas Mamon? It's my second $100. Why should I have to make him pay a second $100? That's Cheskas Mamon. Right? But in this case, let me say it better. When the Poalim died, you're the Chenvani, right? You say I owe you $100. I say, look, it's not my $100, but I'm not sure whose it is. That's not Cheskas Mamon. When the Poalim are alive, you say I owe you $100. I say, no, I don't owe you $100. I am paying the Poalim $100, and I don't owe you. I'm really saying I'm Mosuk and I don't owe you the money because I have to pay the Poalim. I say, look, I have to pay the Poalim. I don't owe you at all. That's Cheskas Mamon. I can claim that I'm paying, whether I paid the Poalim yet or not, I can claim here, look, this is the $100, I'm giving it to the Poalim. I don't owe you anything. Why do you want my money? That's Cheskas Mamon. Okay.
But just, then it shouldn't matter then, like, if somebody came to you to obey the first.
That is a very fascinating question. What if one of them came first? That's a technical question. If one of them came first, do we say, let's wait to Don until the other guy comes? Or do we say, let's take one at a time? If we took one at a time, it might change everything, I admit. Meaning, if the Chanvani came first and we didn't wait for the Polim, then it would change everything according to this. Nachon. That would be like Mesu Polim. But I assume that a real Bez Din, according to the regular rules of Din, would say, let's wait to hear what the Polim say, because generally you wait to hear what everyone says. That's the first explanation of the Shach. The second answer of the Shach, which he actually says he found a Mokr in the Rishonim, in the Balatrumos, Sefer Trumos. Again, let's not be confused. Anyone here learned Isser V'Heter? Or even, remember in Hilchos Shabbos, how you're not allowed to like melt the fat in the oven because it's molid or nolad or whatever it is when you make a solid turn into liquid, right, from the Sefer Truma. Not to be confused from the Sefer Truma and Sefer Trumos, right? Sefer Truma is a book of Or HaChaim Yerodea, written by Talmud of the Ri, one of the Bali Tosfos. Sefer HaTrumos is a book of Halachas of Choshen Mishpat, written by one of the Sephardic Rishonim, who's a Talmud of the Ramban, Rav Shmuel HaSardi, I think. So this is the Sefer, and you never need to get confused. When something's Or HaChaim or Yerodea, you know it's from the Sefer HaTrumah of the Rav Baruch Migarmaiza, one of the Bali Tosfos. Something's Choshen Mishpat, you know it's from the Sefer HaTrumos, of Rav Shmuel HaSardi, who was a Talmud of the Ramban. The Sefer HaTrumos quotes from one of the early Rishonim, this Pshat, which the Shach really likes in the end, and the Gra really likes in the end also. So here we have the Shach in his second answer, and the Gra likes this also, and then he said he found it in the Sefer HaTrumos. What does he say? He says no. In this case, we really have a good taina, a good reason to explain the Baal HaMor also. He says the Rambam is the same as the Baal HaMor. Really, the Chanvani always deserves to win. Why? Why does the Chanvani deserve to win? Where does he get that from? Right? Whoever learned Ksubas here? Raise your hand if you ever learned Ksubas. Okay. What's Machlokes Rav Gamliel Rav Yeshua? Machlokes Rav Gamliel Rav Yeshua, she says, I was a basula. He says, you weren't. So Rav Gamliel says, they're menace. And Rav Yeshua, right, memorably says, lo mi piha anu chayim, right? We don't live off her word, right? So what's the Machlokes there? Again, she is a bari, he's a shema. It's not a question where they argue about a fat on the wedding night. She says, Misheris tani nenasti, right? You weren't there. Says, you weren't there, I have a valid excuse. Right? Mukaz Eitzani. Right? She says, before the Nisuin, I have a valid excuse, or I wasn't Misula. He says, I don't believe you. What do you mean he doesn't know? So, Bari Vashema. She wants the Ksuba money, Bari Vashema. So, Yeshua says, sorry you lose, Bari Vashema. You can't get the money out of him. Rav Gamliel says you win, and symbol shot in the Gemara. The Gemara gives two Esbirim for Rav Gamliel. One of the Esbirim they give for Rav Gamliel is that, at least in one of the cases, she is Chazaka on his side, Chezkas Besula. She was a Besula when she was born, so we assume she stayed a Besula until proven otherwise, so therefore she must have been Nansa after the Kiddushin, and it's not her fault, it's his fault. Or rather, it's not her deceit, it's his Nestapa Sadei. Okay, the whole sugi there, we, of course, possibly Rav Gamliel. Am I mixing them up? Lo Mishana. That's right. Okay. So what do we see? That if Bari Vashema is not strong enough to beat Cheska's mama alone, but if Bari Vashema has a Chazaka with it, Bari Vashema plus Chazaka, right? Good for this in Yonah Dioma scales. Here's Cheska's mama. Here's Bari Vashema. But if you add a Chazaka to Bari Vashema, then it's enough to beat Cheska's mama and it wins. So Bari Vashema plus Chazaka wins. They say very simple. Well, the Chanvani has a Bari Vashema plus a Chazaka. What Chazaka? Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus. So that's a real authentic Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus. So you can rely on this Isser V'Heter, right? If I send someone to do a Shlichus, let's say I send someone to be Torah in my payrolls or something like that, I can eat them. I can really rely in Dinim D'Oraisa on the Chazaka that the Shliach did a Shlichus. Maybe he was evil, maybe he was lazy, maybe he was careless, maybe he got struck by lightning, maybe he got hit by a bus, you never know. But the Chazaka is the Shliach Osa Shlichus. So here we also. Chazaka, that Shliach Osa shlichus. So therefore, you have bari v'shema plus chazaka shlichus shlichus. So beats cheskas mamon, and that's the pshat of the Malamor and the Rambam. Why the chenvani deserves to win midoraisa?
Then what does the chumos do with this? Meaning, everyone who says that the chenvani.
Oh come on! The weakness of this is obvious. What's the weakness of this pshat, right? Why does the Melchamos not like it? Why does the Ran and the Abramah not like it?
Right?
What's the weakness of this Chazke Shlichus Shlichus? What?
It's not a Shlichus
of
the Shlichus to collect the money. That's
not
a Shlichus.
No, no, here it's Shlichus Shlichus to give the food to the Polim, right? I tell the Chenvani, give the food to the Polim. Chazaka will be also Shlichus to give the food to the Polim.
The Polim are saying it didn't happen?
No, but better.
This Chazaka isn't talking about what, you know, a previous state, I mean, who existed. It's a Chazaka, you know, that something might have happened.
Okay, but so I think A, you could say, after all, there's an Eidechel against them because they're Polim, so you didn't give them. But I think the better weakness of this shot, why they're about to agree with this, Cheske Shlichos Shlichusa means if I send you to do something, you'll do it, right? Over here, I didn't send the Chenvani, I said, go hunt down the Polim and dump food and stick food in their pocket. I told the Chenvani, when the Polim come to you, give them the food. So Chenvani can just say the Polim didn't come. What do you mean? If I tell you, be my shliach, anyone who passes by, hand them a flyer. Okay, what if the guy doesn't pass by? What if the guy passes by and doesn't want the flyer? That's not against shliach. It's biyado. Over here, maybe it's not biyado. Maybe the Polim came and they didn't like the food. They said, your fruit is rotten. We don't want your fruit. They said, you're not selling the heksher that we eat. They said, maybe they didn't even show up. Right? He claims they never walked into my store. So this is a very weak chazaka shlichos shlichuso, because there are many factors that could have interfered, because it was up to the Polim also. And if the guy, the Chenvani, gets up there and claims the Polim never entered my store, then how does it, the Baal Bai says maybe the Polim never entered your store, then how does shlichos shlichuso help? Maybe they never entered a store. Or if the Baal Bai says maybe the Polim entered your store, but your produce was wormy and they didn't take it. Then, so I think this is not such an obvious pshat, chazaka shlichus shlichuso, because it might not have been biyado, but okay, that's the pshat of the Sefer Chumos.
Written on the board, if anybody is not acting on my behalf. Right there, we hold it.
I mean, according to Rav Nachshon Goin, you could have another one, that's not shliach, correct? Or you could also be dochel like Rav Nachshon Goin. Shlichus shlichuso, if I send you on a shlichus here, I'm engaging in a potential transaction with you. That's not the same as shlichus. Absolutely right. So it's not so pashut. I thought maybe you could say, although it's not clear to me if our girsa in the Ritva, the real Ritva Chadashim here, is correct or not, because it doesn't really match what he says in Shavuos. But, and I sort of have a singing suspicion that we might have just like lost a line in the Ritva here, and really don't have the right girsa. Okay, so just to be honest, I'll tell you, I'm not sure if we have the right girsa in the Ritva here. It could be that we're missing a line or two, because he doesn't match what he says in Shavuos so well. But let's take a look at our girsa that we have in front of us, in case it is the correct girsa, right? Let's assume that. He says, the Ritva says, where are we? Yeah. I don't know in this one which Ritva is which. It doesn't say. The first one is the new one, thank you. Okay. I was assuming the other way around. That was in chronological order. Says the Ritva here, thank you. Yeah. First he says, look, the Ikar Teretz for us, the Chenvani and Polim aren't fighting with each other, so you can't say Yei Munach. But then he goes on and says, the Din who she to go lechem yana below Shua. Here, the Ritva we have here says clearly, like the, again, even though in Shavuos he seems to say like the Rabban, he says clearly like the Balamor, Bidin who she to kolecha below Shua, right? Bidin, Din Doraisa, they should each have taken without a Shua, like the Balamor. Why? Who pashe ba'atzah? First of all, he was posheya. Bidin, they should each take that a shvua. Like someone who says, "Manu libiyadik ba'omer luisanavi and yodayim praticha." So, Ritva in Bavmitzia says, "Bidin, they should each take without shvua. Why? Because he was posheya ba'atzmo, and bidin, they should each take without shvua. Why? Because it's like in yodayim praticha." Okay, that's a very strange line of the Ritva, because the polim are like in yodayim praticha. But why is the Chenvani like Enyu Deim Praticha? That's a little strange. So unless, you know, maybe this isn't the right curse in the Ritva, I don't know. But assuming that, let's take the Ritvas we have in front of us, right? What does the Ritva mean when he says it's like Eini Yodeya
in Praticha.
What could the Ritva possibly mean? The Chenvani is not like Eini Yodeya in Praticha. So I think that maybe you could say this depends on the Hakira and why Eini Yodeya in Praticha is Chayiv. What's the traditional understanding? Why is Ein Yodeya in Praticha Chayiv? Taka, I know I owed you money. I say, I don't know if I paid you back or not. Why should I be Chayiv? You don't have a proof. Right, so the standard understanding is because of Cheskas Chiyuv. I mean, remember Baruch Hashem with Chazaka? You say I owe you money, I say I might not. Chazaka is I used to owe you money, right? Cheskas Chiyuv, or another Lashon that Rishonim use, which is similar and may or may not be subtly different, is Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai. Not a similar idea. Meaning, Vadai that I owed you, I might have been in Korea. Therefore, not only do you have do I have a Shema, I don't know if I paid you, but the Chazak is that I owe you money. Therefore, I owe you money. But it could be you could say a different shot. Maybe you could say a different shot. That's the standard shot. Maybe you could say a different shot. What's the Ein Yodeya in this Chayavti and Ein Yodeya in Praticha? I don't know if I ever owed you money or not. Right? Was I responsible to know whether or not I owed you money? Like, am I responsible to always remember why I don't owe people money? L'chor enough, right? Meaning, do you say everyone has an achrayus to remember when they didn't borrow money from people? No! Everyone has an achrayus to remember when they weren't mazik people. Everyone has an achrayus to remember, you know, when they, whatever the case was. No, you'd say, look, that Shema, it's not a great Shema. It might be a Shema Garua. It might not be such a good Shema. I don't know if I owed you money or not. But the Shema is not a Shema Pshia. It's not a Shema Pshia. I don't remember whether you lent me money. I don't remember. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I can't keep track of everything. So what do you say? Probably. I didn't lend you money. I'm just not sure, because who can remember these things? Right? I don't have a book where I write down everyone I don't owe money to. So that's not a Shema de Pshia. But any day of Praticha, I borrowed money from you. If I borrow money, it's my responsibility to pay you back. And it's my responsibility to remember whether or not I paid you back. Part of the responsibility of a borrower is to remember whether or not I paid you back. And therefore, what you could say is, maybe Ein Yodeya in Praticha's works, it's a Shema Dipshia. Now, Tosos all over Shas is Mechalkin, a Shema Tov and a Shema Gavrua. Shema Tov means, there's no way I could have known. Like, I have 100% good reason for being Shema. Shema Gavrua means I could have known or I could have not known, so it's like, a little my fault for not knowing. But this is worse than a Shema Garua. Not just a little my fault for not knowing. It's my responsibility to know whether I paid my debts or not. Everyone who borrows money is responsible to keep track of whether he paid or whether he didn't pay. And this is actually, this might tie into Machlokas Rishonim, have it in Yudem Praticha if he has a good reason for not knowing. Right? So many Rishonim hold that, well, if I have a good reason for not knowing, then I'm not Chayiv. I'm only Chayiv if I have a Shema of Pshia. If I forgot whether I paid my debts. What do you mean, you forgot whether you paid your debts? That's Pshia Gemur to forget whether you paid your debts. When you have a Shema of Pshia, you're Chayav. Why do I have a Shema of Pshia Chayav? Well, why is Bari Veshema? Why is there a Mandamer Bari Veshema Bari Adif? Here we're getting already a little bit of field, but Bari Veshema, right, there is a Mandamer Bari Veshema Bari Adif in Shas. Why? What do you mean, is Bari Veshema proof? L'chora. It's just because I'm bar your Shema, that means you for sure owe me the money, you 75% owe me the money?
Not for sure.
Okay, maybe it's a proof. Or maybe, bar your Shema, bar your Adif, the mandar of bar your Shema, bar your Adif holds that, and maybe we'll come back to this Gakir if we have a chance to stick it in, that a bari is a taina. Hamosmeel of a raya, I need to prove I'm right. When do I need to prove I'm right if I have a taina and you have a taina? If you don't claim to be right, then you're not arguing. If I come to Bez and I say you owe me money, and you don't, let's say you don't say anything in Bez, you don't show up, then you lose, right? Everyone knows, you don't come to court, you lose. If you plead no contest, right? You can go to court and say no contest, right? I'm not contesting the charges against me. In America, you can only do that for criminal cases, right? If you don't contest the charges against you, then you lose. That's life, right? So it could be this one man who says, Bari Vishema, Bari Adif, because the Shema doesn't have a taina, so he loses right there. You don't have to prove you're right. So what do we say? No. We say Shema's also a taina. Sometimes people don't know things. That's also a valid taina. It's a valid taina to say, I can't keep track of everything in the whole world, but I might not owe you. That's a regular Shema. Shema Pshia If you have no excuse for your Shema, then that's not a taina. I'm saying you owe me money, and you're saying something which you're not supposed to be saying. You're saying something you're not allowed to say. You didn't keep track of whether you paid your debts or not. That's not a valid taina. If you're not making a taina, you lose automatically. Shema d'pshia is not a taina. Maybe, I realize this is a bit of a
question. How's the Baal Bais the Shema d'pshia?
Ah, okay, great. Shema d'pshia is not a taina. Now let's get back to our case. In our case, what does the Gemara say? What's the Baal Bais is? Ritva says, Ein Yodein Praticha. How so? How is it like Ein Yodein Praticha? Maybe, I realize this is Kedusha, but it's true Kedusha. Maybe, because it's a Shema d'pshia. Why is it a Shema d'pshia? Because of what it says in our Gemara. That's what the Ritva says in the line before this. Who pasha ba'atzma l'ham l'chol edcha mehem? What's his taina? The Chenvani says, I laid up money for you. I say, I don't know if you laid up money for me. Why don't I know? The reason I don't know is because I told you to give them money. I didn't tell you to use Edom. And I told you to trust them. I implied you should trust them. The reason I don't know is because I set you up to trust that guy, because I trusted the Polim and I set you up to lose money, and I made myself a Shema. Basically, I could have made myself a Vadai. I could have said, pay them in front of Edom. Then I would have known Bavadai. I made myself a Shema by not caring enough to make sure that you would be protected if you gave them the money. I set you up to lose. I set you up to be a Shema. I should have told you, don't give them money without proof. Instead, I said, give them money without proof. When I tell you give them money without proof, what I'm saying is that, give them money, and I assume it'll work out. I'm sure it'll all be fine. I trust everyone. I'm naive. I'm sure it'll all be fine. So what kind of Shema is that? I'm saying, I don't know what happened because I set myself up to not know what happened by being naive and not protecting myself. I purposely put you in a situation where I would create a Bari Vishema and not know what happened. That's a Shema d'pshia. That's like any damn praticha. I have no right to negligently put you in a situation where I'm going to have a Shema and not know what happened, and you're going to have a bari and you're going to lose money. That's pshia. It's my fault for being a Shema, because I should have told you to get evidence. Therefore, so why didn't I tell you evidence? Because I said to you, you know, lay out the money for me. I'm sure it'll be fine and there won't be any problems. Then what happens? There is a problem. I come back and say, well, I'm Shema, I don't know what happened. They asked me, what do you mean? Why don't you know what happened? I said, oh, because I was sure it would be fine and there wouldn't be problems, so I told everyone, don't worry. So it's my fault that I'm Shema. It's Pshia. I made myself a Shema by setting you up to give money without evidence because I was naive and thought it would be okay. That's a Shema to Pshia. I can tanga. It's not my fault as a Shema. It's hard to keep track of everything. I can't hide it. It's not my fault that I'm a Shema because I set myself up to be a Shema and I tripped you up to lose money. Basically what happened here, the Baal Bais told the Chenvani, not like the Ramban, like Rav Rishon, the Baal Bais set up the Chenvani to give money to Polim and for the Polim to contradict him and for the Chenvani to lose money. I set this whole situation up in my stupidity. So you say, hold on, if you and your stupidity set it up that someone else should lose money and you should win with the Shema, that's a Shema b'pshia. That's not a valid taina. It's not a valid taina to say I'm a Shema because I negligently set up a situation where I wouldn't have necessary information. No, you should have set up the situation that you would have necessary information. If you negligently remove this information from yourself by telling them to pay without Edom, that's not a Shema. That's a Shema b'pshia and you have no taina at all. Which, I mean, doesn't that make common sense? Chenvani says, look, you told me to lay out the money, I laid out the money. Baal Bais saying, I don't know what happened. Chenvani says, it's your fault you don't know what happened. Did the Baal Bais really have a taina? No, he doesn't have a taina. He's just reaping what he himself sowed. And maybe that's pshat in the Ritva that it's a Shema d'pshia, which is exactly what Ritva said, who pasha ba'atzmo laham in l'kol echad mehem. So that's three possible pshatim in the Rambam, or two pshatim in the Baal Amor, and the Ritva in Bav Metzia. That why should the money win? Either only for the Rambam, only if Mesu Polim he wins because there's no Cheskes Mamon. Or if you want to say that the Baal Amor and the Ritva here, even the regular Chenvani, because the Chenvani deserves to win Midoraisa, either because he is Chazaka on his side, even though it's an Ishi Chazaka, or because Shema d'Pshia is like Ein Yodein Praticha, and that's a big Chiddush. Don't think Ein Yodein Praticha is Chayev because of Cheskes Chiyav, he's Chayev because of Shema d'Pshia.
Just to explain this way, so basically a tiny Shema shouldn't really win, just when you're not responsible.
A Taina Shema.
It's not just that a Bar Gishema, really, everyone gets a Bar Gishema bar, even when it gets Kasama. It's a question of whether it's your fault or not.
But, right, basically what I'm saying is a little different. How can it be a Mandar or Bar Gishema wins? Right. Maybe that Mandar holds Shema is not even a Taina, so you don't even come on to proofs. So even though we disagree with him, we say, because a regular Shema is a Taina, but Shema Dipshi is not a Taina. A Shema, which you should have avoided in the first place, is not a valid Taina. When you don't have a Taina, you lose without proof. That's what I'm timing. And the reason I brought a regular Mandar and Bar Shema Bar Adif is, unless you say like Aaron, as an example of this idea, that if you don't have a Taina, you lose without proof. And it could be that even though we say that even we agree if you don't have a taina, you lose without proof. Just a regular Shema is a taina. But a Shema Dipshi is not a taina.
If you consider the Chenveni a Shliach with Bala Bais, does that mean every single case of appointing a Shliach could be Pshia?
Every case of appointing a Shliach and not telling him to pay with Adim. Correct. Anytime I say, you go give $1,000 to Aaron for me, and I don't tell you to get a receipt or to do with Adim, that I'm now Poshea. And if you come back and say you did it, and I said, how do I know? Then, of course it's my own fault. Of course I deserve to lose. I set myself up not to know by my own negligence. I put a michshol in your path. So of course I deserve to lose.
There's a difference. If I give somebody $1,000 and tell them to go pay somebody, I give them $1,000. Here, the chenvani, I haven't given them the money. I told them to do something. He's also poshe in a sense by not protecting himself. He should have had aiding for himself, not talking to
him. Okay, so that's the Gemara's assumption, which Tosas and most Rishonim explain, that since I told him, didn't tell him to pay with Aiden, it's as if I'm saying that it's my decision to trust the fallen. You could have interpreted otherwise psychologically, but let's take the Gemara's interpretation. Okay, so much for Chenvani Alpin Kasson. This is very sodistic ideas. I realize about Bar Yishema, you really need a week to get into Bar Yishema to understand these ideas properly, but at least to, you know, have the potential to apply them when necessary. Now let's get into Rechia Kamaisa, Tani Rechia. Okay, let's start this year. Manali biyadcha v'halo ein lecha biyadi klum v'aidim einu so sheisoch v'mishin zoz nosu lecha v'mishin zoz v'yishav al shar shlote yivdoz piv gdol meyon es eidim mi kal v'acha omer. Rav Chia says, why is this called Rechia Kamaisa? Because Rav Chia is going to say something else a lot later in the continuation of this sugya. So there's Rav Chia Kamaisa. He says, if I say Danny owes me 100 and he says none, and Adam say he owes 50, if he himself had admitted 50, that would be motive mixas. Of course he'd be chai v'shua. If Adam say he owes 50, Adam and mixas count as Hodah and mixas. Why? From a kavachomer, Adam are better than Hodah. That you shouldn't think Hodah is better than Adam, and Hodah is Machai Mishvo, Adam is not. No, Kavachomer, Adam are better than Hodah. Vitana Tune brings a riot from the Mishnah. Where's our Mishnah? Shnaim of some Talis Yomonim Tzasiyah V'chuli, V'ahacha came in the Tophis Anit Sadi, Ma'i Tophis Ayidehu, Ma'i Tophis Ayidehu, V'katani Yishava, V'katani Yishava. Okay, and remember we saw that Pnei Yoshua says, you take this more literally, it sounds like Tosus, to each Mochsek on half, they each, not just Mochsek, have Adam on half, but you could also just read this as, in the end they get half for some reason, which is what the Pnei Yeshua said. And defend Rashi, based on some of the other Mishnah. But what's Rav Chia saying? Rav Chia says, look, in the Mishnah, I say you owe me a whole talis. You say you owe me none of the talis. And I win half. I have Adim that I have half, meaning I'm holding on to half that counts as Adim that I get half. Therefore, it's Adim and Mikzas, and you have to swear in the West. Rest, that's proof for Rav Chia Kamaisa. Is it really good proof? No, the Gemara is going to say that a lot later. But first, we're going to get into Modu Mitzas. My Shlotei Adas Piv Gdol Me Adas Eidim Kavachomer. What do you mean you need a Kavachomer so you won't think Hodas Piv Modu Mitzas is stronger than Eidim Mitzas? What's the Had mean to think Hodas is stronger than Eidim? So Gemara says Shlotomer Adas Piv with Rami Yechon Hashua like the Rabba. You would think only in Modu Mitzas you Chayv Hashua like Rabba to Amar Rabba, because Rabba famously said. Where's Moshe? Because Rabbah famously said, "Mipnei ma'amar Torah mod mixes tiny shava kazak ein adam meiz ponim tnei balchovo v'hai bechuli ba'i delichbrei v'hadu lo kavushim tnei adam meiz ponav v'hai bechuli ba'i lo le v'hai lo odi shemutu d'kam shtam tnei sovra adav lizuzay poran alei v'amar achmana rami shvole kihechi delodi le bechuli." Okay, we won't even continue with actual Rafiya yet. But what does this mean? Rava says, First, let's just translate the words. Why did the Torah say Modim Sustain Shava? As Chazaka, some would have the chutzpah to deny they owed money their Baal Chol. And really, he might have wanted to deny it all, but he didn't have the chutzpah. But he didn't have the chutzpah. And then he would have wanted to admit it all. But he's just trying to stall because right now he doesn't have the cash to pay. He has some of the cash, right? Odds are he has some cash in the house. No one has zero cash in their wallet. So he has some cash, but he doesn't have the rest of the cash in his house. Therefore he said, until I get money and paid, let me stall by being motive and mitzas. Then, the Torah said, rather, let's put a shvu on him so he'll admit. The Ritva points out, there's obvious psychology. Hold on. If he's stalling and he's planning to pay later, why bother with the shvua? Just let him win and he'll pay later. The answer is because right now he's planning to pay later, but once he comes out of Bez Din victorious and goes home, then his HR might get the better of him and say, look, I already won in court, maybe I won't pay later. Okay.
Does he have the right to do that? He gets to pay that. Pay
of course he doesn't have the right to. He can't lie in Bez Din.
Even if he was going to pay later, he would make a big shvua because he owes it right now.
Correct. I guess we're just saying, what's the big deal? I mean, if he doesn't have money, what's going to help? Right? We have to wait till he gets money anyway.
No, this way we can prove that he owes the money and then later...
Okay. Nachon. Now, the question is, what is Rabbah talking about? Mipnei ma amra Torah modim mitzataina yishava. What's Rabbah's question here? Why did the Torah say modim mitzataina yishava? And fascinatingly, almost no one interprets Rabbah in the simplest sense, right? Because then he starts, his answer is very convoluted. You know, truth is, what might you have answered? If I had asked you, why did the Torah say Moses makes us swears? What would you have said on a very simple level without anything fancy? I'd answer, you didn't know any Gemara. Why did the Torah say Moses makes us should swear? You might say. Because if he owes half of it, good chance he owes the other half of it. Right, meaning there's a red lion lid over here. Right, Rabbah starts getting very, very complicated here. So, Rabbah gets so complicated, you might think he's asking a slightly different question. So what question is Rabbah asking? So, what are most Rishonim say? What's Rabbah's question? Here's Rabbah. What's Rabbah's question? What do Tosfos and most Rishonim say? Migo. Tosfos says, Perishe neman b'migo diboy kofra kol. Every motive of mikta should have a migo of kofra kol. Why don't you say, look, I admit, you asked me for 100, I admit 50. I could have said nothing. If I was a liar, I would have said nothing to me, Potter. So obviously I'm telling the truth, migo. Now, Tosfos is smart. He knows you'll say, you can't ask a kasha the Torah for migo. Right? Maybe the answer is that whatever the Torah says beats migo, right? After all, Torah is the Torah. So he says, no. Oh, Neil, me hakul, the name of Migo Bialma. In Lamaisa, we say Migo all over Shas. So, if this was against Migo, then we'd make a Binyanav, and we wouldn't say Migo all over Shas. Meaning, if the Torah's against Migo here, then either the Torah's wrong, which it can't be, or Migo's wrong. That would have to eliminate the rule of Migo. Every time you try to say Migo, we'd say, look, the Torah's against Migo. So obviously the Torah can't have a case against Migo. Obviously the Torah admits to Migo, because it's all over Shas. So, isn't this the most obvious Migo in the world? The guy would say, look, obviously I'm telling the truth. If I was a liar, I would have been kofar kol and been out and laughed all the way to the bank. So, that is the way Tosfos reads the question. He should be potter with a Migo de kofar kol. And then what's the answer? What's the Gemara's answer then? What? What's the phrase in the Rishonim and Achronim for that answer? Migu de Ha'aza. Right? The answer is, it's a Migu de Ha'aza, or another way some of the Rishonim express it, which is just does a very nice job of summarizing it, is Migu Le'eno Meis. Meaning, what's the idea of Migo? Migo means, I could have, if I was a liar, I would have said the other taina. But no, Migo da'aza means, you didn't have the chutzpah to say the other taina. Even liars, there's limits to their chutzpah. Even liars, there's limits to their chutzpah. Okay, there's some slight discussion whether maybe nowadays we sunk to such a low madriga that there's no limits to chutzpah anymore. But at least in classical era, even a liar has limits to his chutzpah. I can I can lie to you, right? But I can steal money, or at least not pay the money. Not clear if I can steal money, that's an interesting question. But I can at least not pay money I owe. But I can't be made, I don't have the chutzpah to totally deny it to your face. I don't have the chutzpah to totally deny it to your face. Therefore, he says, it's not a valid meidu. Why? Mi meyes, kofra kol is meyes. Mo de mixas is eino meyes. Migu mi meyes la eino meyes. I couldn't have been kofra kol because I didn't have the chutzpah.
Right.
I couldn't have been kofar akol because I didn't have the chutzpah. Therefore, I lost my migo. Migo, I could have. No, I couldn't have. I lost my migo. That's how Tosos reads the Gemara. Now, Agav, let's just mention Machlokes Rishonim, which maybe we'll discuss a little more. What does it mean, I don't have the chutzpah to meiz panav nei balchovo? Balchovo as opposed to? More at the end of Baba Kama? What? Balchovo as opposed to? As opposed to Mafgid. Right, that's what the Gemara says in the end of Baba Kama. Right, Daf Kuf Zayin. This is the famous sheet of Erev Parshas, Kasav Khan. The word Kihuzeh is written in which Parsha? Is Kihuzeh written? Right, Kihuzeh is the Makor of Motiv Mixes, right? Asher Yomar Kihuzeh, Ado Lakim Yavod Dvar Shnehem. Ado Lakim Yavod Dvar Shnehem means Shvua. Right, Shvas Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shnehem, Lo Shlach Ilom Lech Sveyehu, and above that it says Yodom Lech Sveyehu. Asher Yomar Kihuzeh, the drash of Kihuzeh is, Kihuzeh, I say this is it, I admit. If I admit, why do I have to swear? I admitted. If you say I owe you $100, I admit, obviously I don't have to swear. It must mean I admitted partially. So if I'm molded and mixed, I have to swear. That's written in the Parsha of Shomrim. But, and that is the Shita of, maybe Ram Berchama, I always forget, who says that Arba Shomrim, Tzrichan Odav Mixas, Ukfir Mixas, that a Shomer only swears if he's a molded and mixed. But we don't paskin that way. We paskin, like that's Ram Berchama, like Rukhiya Bar Yosef, or that's Rukhiya Bar Alba here. We pass like Rukhiya Bar Yosef, who says, Erev Parshas Kasav Khan. Right? So long tosis there, because I have in your back pocket about exactly what he means. But the Erev Parshas Kasav Khan, that, no, really, the Kiyuzeh is not for the Shomer. The Kiyuzeh is for Halva. Right? And why? Because the principle of Bodev Mixas ain't not a Meis Panam Pnei Balchovo. And that's Balchovo, but in Pikadon, you would be Meyas. So what we know in Baba Kama is that Ein Adam Meyas Panav Bifnei Balchovo, and that's Halva. But when it comes to Shomrim, apparently, Adam Meyas Panav, or as they say, Meyas Umeyas, Bifnei Mafkid. Why? What's the difference between, why won't I be Meyas Panav Dei Balchovo? That's why there's a modem mitzvah makes sense in the context of Halvos. But I will be Meyas Panav in front of Mikadon. That's why in Shomrim, there's no din modem mitzvah. Everyone's, either everyone's Chayiv or everyone's Pater, and Taka, everyone's Chayiv. What's the difference? What does everyone but Rashi say?
Did you a favor by giving the money.
Who says that? Rashi and Baba Kama. Rashi and Baba Kama says, because he did you a favor. And what's the lashon of Rashi and Baba Kama? She'oseh lo tova. A guy who lent you money did you a favor. Therefore, you don't have the chutzpah. If a guy did you a favor and lent you money, you say he didn't lend me money. As opposed to the pikadon.
You did him a favor.
He didn't do you a favor. Maybe, since the parsha is shomer chinam, you did him a favor by watching this thing. So I have chutzpah if you didn't do me a favor. I only have chutzpah if you did me a favor. That's Rashi. How about everyone else in the world? Including Tosfos right here. Tosfos. And everyone else in the entire world says, what's the difference? Exactly what is Tosfos say. The ain of the maze part of lichbar kol holo v'chavero makir b'shikro. Right? Says, what's the difference? I don't have chutzpah to lie to your face if you know I'm lying. You know you lent me $100. I don't have chutzpah to say you didn't lend me any money. But in the case of Shomrim, What's my taina? What's the case in the Chumash? What am I taina in the Chumash? What? No, that's not the taina in the Chumash. What's the taina in the Chumash? Nignav, right? Or let's call it ne'nas, right? Although it's I taina nignav. I say you told me watch my cow. I say your cow was stolen. You don't know whether your cow was stolen or not. So of course I have chutzpah to say your cow is stolen. After all, maybe I'm telling the truth. It's very easy to lie if no one else knows the answer because they all have no choice but to trust you. So that's what Tosfos and the other Rishonim say. Rashi there is exceedingly difficult. That's all the Rishonim point out here also. Meaning over here, Tosfos doesn't make a big deal of it. Some of the other Rishonim, I think, on the first sheet, or at least some of the other Rishonim here, the Ramban and the Ritva and others, make a big deal. They point out that the main nafgamina between Rashi and everyone else is where to draw the line between Shomrim and Halva. For example, what about Sam, which Taina? A Shomer who says, Hechzarti, right? Or a Shomer who says, Lahadam, you never gave it to me. Right? What if a Shomer says Hechzarti, or a Shomer says, Lahadam, you never gave it to me? So the nafgamina would be, what about a Shomer Shetoein Hechzarti? Or Lahadam lo hayu dvar me'olam. So according to Rashi, would a shomer have chutzpah to say hechzarti or lahadam? According to Rashi?
Yeah.
Yes, because he didn't do him a favor. According to Tosos and the other Rishonim, would he have chutzpah to say hechzarti or lahadam? No, because the guy knows he's lying, right? The guy says, what do you mean hechzarti? I know you didn't give back me. What do you mean, la adam? I never gave you my cat a wash. I know I gave you my cat a wash. Therefore, basically the problem is, and this is a very significant problem, all the other Rishonim match all of Shas. What do we find in all of Shas? That whenever there's a machlokes, kofra, kol, is chayev, sorry, is pater, moda mitzvah, is chayev, except for painas, nensu. By Nensu, I also mean Nignu for Shamatino. Tainus Nensu, basically, when do we not have the rule of Modem Mitzas? By Nensu, when the guy doesn't know, then there's no rule of Modem Mitzas. Any Shomer says Nensu has to swear, Nignu has to swear. Whenever the other guy does know, then we have the rule that Modem Mitzas is a Chayiv Kofra Kolos Pater. According to Rashi, it should seem to turn out that only in Halvos we should have a rule of Modem Mitzas. And that's what Rashi says about Eruv Parshios. What's the Eruv Parshios? Most of the other Rishonim say Eruv Parshios, mixing in Parshios. Doesn't really mean we mix Parshios. It means that within the Parsha of Shomer, we mix the cases. If the Shomer, what does Eruv Parshios mean? Eruv Parshios means within Shomer. Within Shomer, if the guy taines densu nignavu, then he's chayav to swear, even without modem mitzas. Because Rava doesn't apply. If the guy tying is hechzarti or lahadam, that's what's called halva. Halva, the tainas of shomrim. Then the rule of modem mitzvah applies. So Asher Marki, who's there, is referring to the halva dik tainas of shomrim, where each one knows the truth. But if only one guy knows the truth and the other guy doesn't, like Nansu, then he has to swear without modem mitzvah. According to Rashi, and this is what Rashi says right there, that everyone jumps in for. You have to move the words ki huzeh to emkesef talveh esami. Later on in Shana is emkesef talveh esami. Take the words ki huzeh out of shomrim and move them. Then you mix up different cases of shomrim. Some cases of shomrim have motive mitzvah, some cases of shomrim are always chayav shua. No, according to Rashi, you have to take ki huzeh. Motive mitzvah only applies to halvos. In shomrim, there's no rule of motive mitzvah. So that is a fundamental machlokes. According to Tosfos and the other Rishonim, what do we say? We say, Nansu, there's no rule of modem mimiktas, because rabbit doesn't apply. There's no azaz panim. But, hechzarti lahadam has the rule of modem mimiktas. And that's the era of Parshios. You're mixing in different cases. Right, because they each know the truth and ain't on the maze point of the machlokes. According to Rashi, you would say halva'ah has the rule of modem mitzas, and Pikadon doesn't have a rule of modem mitzas. That is exceedingly difficult because Tosus and the other Shem point out all of Rashas we find the rule of modem mitzas being applied to Pikadon in times where they both know the truth. So that is, this Rashi is exceedingly difficult to justify. I understand where Rashi's coming from of shot basis. Ain't other may is ton of bifne balchovo. Balchov, a guy he's indebted to, a guy who did him a favor. I don't have chutzpah if you did me a favor. But I do have chutzpah against guys who didn't do me a favor. The problem is that in that case, the rule of modem mitzvahs would only apply to people who did you favors, meaning to halvos, not to shomrim. And that doesn't match all of Shas. That's very, very difficult. You're going to have to be nidchak to say all of Shas, where Rabbanan and change the rules of all of Shas. That's a different opinion, but then the opinions don't always work out. That's very difficult. Lamaisa, no one agrees with Rashi. Everyone else says, ain't on the maze pun thing, like Tosu said here. Right, the ains and migud, the ino means punalich were called hold the chavir makir b'shikro. Have a makam sheyachlohayz kiyom b'vnovi or manal aviyach b'yadi v'yachalti pras nemav migud ibar kaver called the isa perik beis diksubos v'perik shvuos ha dayanim. Tos says I'm not made to lie if you know the truth. If you know that I'm lying, I can't look you in the face and lie when you know I'm lying. And therefore, the rule of modem mitzvahs applies whenever you know I'm lying, which includes many cases of mikudah where we argue about what we both know. The only time modem mitzvahs doesn't apply is if you don't know I'm lying, which is Nansu. I say something happened to the Pikadon while you weren't looking. And that's Taka, where we find all of Rashas, that matches all of Rashas, that we find that when the guy Tainas Nansu, he always swears. We don't care if he's modem mitzvahs or not. When the guy Tainas to have Zarti or Lahadam, then we apply the rule of modet bit mitzvahs. That's the Shita of all the other Rishonim against Rashi. Lemaisa, we're not going to defend Shitas Rashi now. If you want to, that'll be good homework for Ben Asmani. Okay, we're... the hour's getting a little late. And I see we're not going to finish this... this sugya now. But we have Tosfos who says... At least the cash is, why didn't he have a migu of kofar kol? And the answer is, because migu da aza, migu means you could have made the other taina here. He couldn't have made the other taina because of the chutzpah. And therefore he says, in one case you would have the migu, where I could have made the other taina. When could I have made the other taina if you don't know? How could you not know? If I say to someone, that someone says, didn't you owe my father $100? And I said, yes, I owed your father $100, but I paid 50. I'm modem mitzvah. Here I could have denied it all. Because here I could have denied it all, because he that the son doesn't really know all his father's affairs. I could have said, oh, you don't understand the business I have with your father. I owe nothing. I would have had the chutzpah, because the son doesn't really know all his... Some might think he has all his father's papers, but he can't really be sure that he has all his father's papers and he knows all the affairs and every deal balpeh that happened. Therefore, I would have had the chutzpah to be kofar kol, and therefore Taka says, Tosos, look in the Gemara, I am Neman. I am Pater from a mode of mixas. And I say to someone... I admit I owed your father $100 and paid 50. So I admit 50, I deny 50. I am Taka Potter, Miguv Kofar Kol, because I could have been Megas, because he, according to Rashi, because he didn't do me a favor. The son never did me a favor. According to Tosos, the son isn't 100% sure that he knows the facts. Okay, according to Tosfos, just one important question. What is the Gemara not? What is our Gemara not asking and answering according to Tosfos? The actual question of why modem mitzvahs is chayev and why kofar kol is pater, right? The Gemara is not actually explaining the difference between modem mitzvahs and kofar kol. The Gemara is just asking a side question of Migo, which is very important because it has many, many nafkaminas. The Gemara is not actually asking the real question, which is why Tosfos says, Yim tovar kofar kol midolin de pater. Why is kofar kol pater? Right? Why is there a difference between modem mitzvahs and kofar kol? Because according to Tosas, the Gemara hasn't asked that. And the answer is, don't say Kofar calls Potter because he's a Chazak on his side. Right? Don't say, and this is going to be the $64,000 question, is everyone Chayiv a Shvua unless they can prove they're Potter, or is everyone Potter from a Shvua unless you can prove they're Chayiv? Or, I don't mean prove. Is everyone Chayiv a Shvua unless they have evidence that they're telling the truth, or is everyone Potter from a Shvua unless you have evidence that they're lying? So Tos says, don't say everyone's chayiv shuah, but a kofar goes potter, he says, I have a chazaka on my side. What's the chazaka? I must be telling you the truth, because I wouldn't have had the chutzpah to lie. Don't say that, because taka, the Gemara says, afilu makom sheyachol az pa'as k'mom viv no. Because even in a case where a kofar goes potter, even if I'm against the fellow's son, and I could have been meyus, kofar kol is still potter. Mod mixes potter, migu kofar kol. Obviously, kofar kol is potter. So kofar kol is potter even when I could have been meyus. So you can't say he's only potter because he has a chazak on his side. Avafilu mod mixes potter so migu by kofar kol. The ain lomer yafinu mitzvah lmechlof sheirachem chayv shvua be kofar kol chayv ma'inaf gemina meirachad habalav hafi chayv. Don't say, since an Eidechad is a Chayiv Shvua, that proves that without an Eidechad, I'm Pater. What's the case? Mode Mixas is Chayiv. So it must be that an Eidechad is Mechayiv from Kofar Kol. Must prove that without any Eidim, Kofar Kol is Pater. Not true. Da Itzrach Mokshu Eidim Tovea Klumbe, and Yodeva Eid Meid Shuganam Shav Hilvelo. Because you could say, no, a Kofar Kol is Chayiv Shvua if the guy Tainas. Why do we need Eidechad? Eidechad, even if the guy doesn't Taina, if there's an Eidechad, you're Chayiv Shvua. So you could say, even if Kofar Kol was Chayiv Shvua, you'd still need a parch of Eidechad, because Kofar Kol is only Chayiv Shvua. Here's a little hint. Why would anyone think Kofar Kol is Chayiv Shvua? Because the other guy tainas on me. So maybe Eidechad is necessary. He doesn't tain on me. Therefore, we shlomo the kihu zemash v'gzeres ha-kosuv v'davkum v'nitz is that tain ha-chayiv lo Kofar Kol. Gzeres ha-kosuv, kihu zeh. The Torah bothers to say modem mixes. That means modem mixes is Chayiv. Obviously implies that Kofar Kol is Potter. So why would the Torah emphasize modem mixes being Chayiv if everyone was Chayiv? So it must be that only Mod Mixas is Chayiv and not Kofar Kol, Gzeres HaKosov. Okay, what do we do with this? Gzeres HaKosov, the Kofar Kol is Potter? So, fine, it's Gzeres HaKosov. But even once there's Gzeres HaKosov, Taka, you might ask, well, what's the logic that the Torah is teaching us behind this Gzeres HaKosov? So, we're not 100% sure, but Tosus a little later on says in Dibur HaMaskil, Kofar Kol Yochiach Shal Yidei Tainu Kviyor Potter. Kofar Kol is it, the Gemara says, Modem Mixas and Eidechad. Both have a Tain and a Kviyor and are Chayiv Shua. So that's silly. Kofar Kol is Tain and Kviyor and is not Chayiv Shua. Obviously, not every Tain and Kviyor is Chayiv Shua. V'yesh Loma Da Atzad HaShavash V'yesh Tain HaChashuva. Ah, why is Modem Mixas Chayiv? He's a Tain that's more Chashuv than Kofar Kol. Why? Because modem mixas o ed machisho nearer to mishaker lekachi shvua. Because when you're modem and mixas, it seems that you're wrong. It seems that you're suspicious, right? Because what do you mean? He asked for something. He's not making it up, right? You're admitting partially, so probably he's telling the truth, and you're just probably he's telling the truth. He has a tiny chashuva, and clearly if he has an eich, a tiny chashuva. Kofar Kol is not a tiny chashuva. Meaning, what is Tosu saying? Modem and mixas. There's a suspicion against you, because after all, if it's partially right, maybe it's all right. And Kofar Kol, there's no suspicion against you. Kofar Kol, there's no suspicion against you. Therefore, here, one blot later, at the end of the sugya, coincidentally, or maybe not, Tosas finally gets around to explaining what might be behind this Diras HaKasav. Okay, we'll have to stop now and pick up Amir Tzashem next time being Monday, the last shir of the Zman. Let me just ask see, we have a lot more to do now. What I'll do is maybe I just have to finish writing up the next Makor sheet is going to be on the Migo issue here, on the question of why does every mode makes us not Potter because of Migo of Kofar Kol? We know one answer to that, right? What answer do we know? What? Migu da'aza. Okay, it's a big machlok to be shown him whether that's the right answer or not. Obviously, there has to be some answer. So, I just have to finish writing that up. I'll send it out, but obviously we'll have to finish up this also. And let's keep our eyes open for how to interpret Rabba and the very fundamental questions going on here, which are, you know, is everyone chayiv a shvua unless there's a reason not to be chayiv? Is everyone potter from a shvua unless there's a special reason to suspect them? Is that somehow what Rabba is trying to address? And what we'll do in the next shiur, or whenever we get to all the next set of makoros, is try and take that and then move on to the question of what is a chiyuv shvua anyway? Like, does a chiyuv shvua really mean the case is going against you and then you're on the losing side and the scales are tilted against you, you deserve to lose this case? Does a chiyuv shvua really mean that You know, we just prefer to get some more information and clarify things. As long as we're all here, we might as well clarify as much as we can. Those are going to be very important questions and tie into really all of Shas. Basically, in these few lines of Gemara, is everything about Shavua and Shas is packed in to these lines of Gemara. We're going to try and do it at least in a basic fashion. Maybe we'll leave a few things that are going to come up in the next 10 blot to come back to later. But that's what we should be looking out for.
Should we mail these to Moshe?
Please.
Please.